in the limelight. Beijing has leveraged its Belt and Road Initiative to gain the upper hand on the Mekong River, whilst the United States and Japan's competing initiatives wash away, according to Thailand-based Swedish journalist Bertil Lindner. Bertil Lindner's article is for Asia Times and is titled China Winning New Cold War on the Mekong. Stay with us for more. When the China Daily ran an advertisement in the New York Times extolling the virtues of Beijing's proliferating dams in Laos, the piece sparked a new Cold War controversy. Entitled Employment on a Hydroelectric Project in Laos Delivers Better Lives, the piece stated that a proposed cascade of dams on the Nam U River will enable well-paid local workers to buy pickup trucks and provide the poor country with badly needed electricity. The paid placement also noted that the Nam U River Cascade is a key part of the China-led Belt and Road Initiative and is the first project undertaken by a Chinese-invested company to cover an entire river. With its rising regional clout and massive state resources, China has recently gained a clear upper hand vis-à-vis the United States and Japan in determining the crucial waterway's future development and direction. It's an economic over-environment vision that downstream nations have often opposed, but without recourse or resources to fight back, there is little they can do as United States and Japan-backed counter-initiatives for the river wash away into irrelevance. The new Cold War on the Mekong River is being fought in part on environmental grounds. International Rivers, a non-governmental organization, NGO, views China's dam building differently than as portrayed in the New York Times. The group states on its website that the piece paints a rosy picture of a highly destructive set of dams currently under construction in Southeast Asia. Rather than benefiting economically from the construction of new dams, International Rivers claims that farmers affected by the project have lost their land and that many never received the compensation they were promised. The cascade has resulted in the forced relocation of over 4,000 people and undermined livelihoods for tens of thousands more villagers in the river's basin, according to the NGO International Rivers. It also claims the company, China Power, is developing 350 kilometers of the 450-kilometer-long river and has rejected offers from the International Finance Corporation and the Mekong River Commission, MRC, to participate in a broader watershed management planning. That is hardly surprising. In recent years, China has managed to maneuver the MRC, the Mekong River Commission, a decades-old initiative which brings together Mekong River countries for development projects, with the creation of its own Lankang Mekong Corporation, or LMC. Lankang is the Chinese name for the Mekong River, and a forum, which includes all the riparian countries from the river's headwaters to its exit in the South China Sea, explicitly excludes traditional regional donors like Japan and the United States. According to Carl Middleton and Jeremy Alouche, two Western scholars writing for the Italian journal The International Spectator, the LMC proposes programs on both economic and water resource development, and anticipates hydro diplomacy via China's dam engineering control of the headwaters of the Mekong River. With China's LMC pitted against the mainly Western and Japanese-funded MRC, the new US-China Cold War is impacting on the fate of a river that flows through no less than six countries. That is China, Myanmar, Laos, Thailand, Cambodia, and Vietnam. It's a long-term vision that is fast coming into fruition. In January of 2011, the China Daily published a wide-ranging plan of action for the LMC, with what then seemed likely overly ambitious plans for economic cooperation, trade promotion, and pledges to build a long-term, stable, sustainable, and diversified financial system for LMC members. The plan's so-called water resources utilization, of course, entailed the construction of more dams on the Mekong River and its tributaries such as the Nam U. Combined with the still ongoing construction of a high-speed railroad from China's southwestern Yunnan province down to Vientiane, the capital of Laos, China will soon link with neighboring Southeast Asia in ways hitherto unseen in the region's history. The MRC, on the other hand, is a legacy of the old US versus Soviet Union Cold War, and as such has become increasingly weak, ineffectual, and anachronistic, according to the critics. Initially known as the Mekong Committee, it was established way back in 1957 under a statute endorsed by the United Nations, but conceived by Raymond Wheeler, a retired US general. His model was the Tennessee Valley Authority, one of U.S. President Franklin Roosevelt's grand New Deal schemes in the 1930s. That project saw the construction of dams along the Tennessee River and brought electricity, irrigation, and flood control benefits to several U.S. states. But transplanting the idea to Southeast Asia, especially amid the instability of the past Cold War and later the wars in Indochina, didn't have the same result. China was never a partner to the Mekong River Commission, MRC's forerunner, nor was Myanmar, as the move was part of a wide Cold War strategy to unite pro-Western regimes in Thailand, Laos, Cambodia, and South Vietnam against Communist China and North Vietnam. The headquarters of the committee was located in Bangkok, Thailand, a hub for the US military during the Vietnam War. It was not until the wars ended in the mid-1990s that the group became more cohesive. Renamed the Mekong River Commission, MRC, it included three of the original members that pulled in a reunited Vietnam as the fourth. But without China or Myanmar's participation, the new setup was as ineffective as the old one because it could not fully monitor and maintain flows of the entire Mekong River, which has its origins in the southern mountains of China. The LMC's riparian membership, on the other hand, overcomes those hurdles. Although a new US scheme created in 2009, known as Lower Mekong Initiative, also includes Myanmar, it has not achieved any marked progress, as its plans for health, education, and infrastructure development have remained largely on the drawing board. Its traction has also being constrained by geopolitics. Laos and Cambodia are much closer to China than the United States, and even Myanmar is sliding back into China's orbit after a brief but now truncated dalliance with the West. Moreover, the Nam U Cascade is not the only Chinese megaproject in the pipeline for the Mekong River. China is now constructing another cascade of dams on the Mekong River, a vast project which, when completed, could include as many as 14 hydroelectric power stations on its territory before the river flows south and forms the border between Laos and Myanmar. To be sure, downstream countries have aired complaints about the river's impeded flow. Vietnam, which experienced its worst drought in 90 years in 2016, blamed that disaster in part on the parching impact of China's upstream dams. Similar concerns have been raised in Laos, where water levels on the Mekong River fluctuate widely when China opens and closes its dams. At times, the once mighty Mekong River is completely dried up around Laos's capital city. But with China controlling both the flow of water and development funds, there is little the downstream countries can do apart from cooperate with Beijing's ambitions and designs. The Mekong River Commission, MRC, and its new offshoot, the Lower Mekong Initiative, meanwhile seem destined to slip further into irrelevance, whilst China's LMC is, by all indications so far, built to stay.